And it's Ruminations Tuesday, July the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. And because it's a Rumination Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just wondering, where were you at?
Where was I at?
Yeah, the way you're dressed.
I just came from vacation Bible school.
That's
what's going on at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church this week.
Yes.
And I'm wearing a t-shirt that emblazoned. It's beautiful. It's purple t-shirt. I got this free from Concordia Publishing House, no less.
Really?
And it says, "Tell it, Jesus Christ is Lord." It's got this mountain climber on the summit of the mountain, and it's a beautiful shirt. I wear this out on the bike trail, and I wear it, you know, working out. And I'll tell you, you get some interesting looks.
Some
approvals, and some people kind of look like, what kind of guy is that?
Yes, yes. And I've been asking that for 6 years. So Vacation Bible School, explain a little bit what that is. What grades at your particular church?
Let's see. It's just the primary grades. We've maybe got at tops, maybe second, third graders.
Okay.
But mostly it's kind of pre-kindergarten and kindergarten, and maybe a little bit older than that. And we've got about 40 kids. I'll tell you, a lot of them came in the last week and registered. But we always have a good program. We kind of build it on our pre-K program, which is operated out of Christ Community Lutheran School, and they have a fine program themselves.
Yes.
And then we build on that, and we have the congregation gets involved with.
So you actually have a school.
We have a school. It's year-round.
Prince of Peace. Yeah.
Pre-K, right.
Okay. And just give out your phone number in case somebody wants to call you about.
Yeah, our church number is 843-8448. That's area code 314.
And VBS is going to last, what, through Friday?
Through Friday morning, right.
Okay, so people can still come tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Wes Reimnitz and I were talking about that. He had a few pages on how to do a VBS. He doubled his class attendances by having the kids go and get other friends to bring.
Oh, hey, well, that's great. I mean, we always encourage that, too. You know, bring your friends, bring your grandkids, everybody, you know.
Yeah, and he had some grandmothers bringing people, you know, during the summer that they were babysitting and such.
And it's no charge. We do not charge anything. We have the kids bring a little offering every day, but we do not charge. And, you know, some people, when they ask me about that, really, no charge for VBS? I said, no, we never have charge, and we don't plan on it.
No, and plus you have some goodies to eat, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, what do you have? Cheeseburgers? French fries?
Well, you know, today, you know what we did? It was the Mount Carmel. You know, the altar contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal.
Yeah.
So they had bagels as an altar, and they had blue colored cream cheese to represent the water that was.
Oh, wow.
That was burning. And then on top of that, they had strawberry slices to represent the fire. And I told them, you know, because they sacrificed bull on those arteries, they should have had a little bit of bologna.
Oh, yeah, a little bit of bologna. Yeah, for the prophet of Baal altar, yes.
Yes.
Now, do you teach?
What I do is I give the opening and the closing. And I have taught before, too. I've taught classes there.
Yes. What we're talking about today, folks, is that document, and it's going to take us a while to get through it. It's called The Natural Knowledge of God, put out by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod this April of this year, a report of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, which is a committee that attempts to do theological booklets. Just recently, they did one on immigration and now natural law or the natural knowledge of God. Now, do you have students at the Vacation Bible School that are not members of your congregation?
Yes. Oh, yes, we do.
Yes. This document indicates that actually kids are kind of born with an idea that there's a God.
You know, I believe that. I really do. I kind of sense that myself, kids have that sense that, you know, it's like the passage, every house is built by some man, he that built all things is God. You know, kids just see the world the way it is, and they just feel like, well, somebody had to make all this, you know.
Yes, it's on page 58, if you want to look at it. It's called Hardwired to Believe. And it's the idea that the formation of religious belief in children actually appears to be natural. The brain's hardwiring seemed to predispose them to it, which is kind of interesting. It really helps me to understand the Romans 1 passage, because that's one of the main passages in the Bible about natural law. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," and verse 18, "who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." And what he's talking about is, of course, the creation of the world.
Yeah, right.
Nobody can look at the creation of the world and say, well, that just came out of a bunch of amoebas jumping around in the water or
the
something.
The fool in his heart has said there is no God.
Exactly. And so I always was bothered by this, who suppressed the truth in righteousness. And what this document shows that even atheists inside themselves know there's a God, but they suppress the truth because they can't stand it. Now, from a law gospel perspective, why do you think a person has to suppress the truth of God within them? What kind of person would want to do that?
Somebody who's afraid, riddled with guilt, perhaps.
Very good.
They don't want to face the reality. I would imagine this is why some people, not all, but this is why some people might want to be cremated and have their ashes scattered over the sea in hopes that, well, just in case there is a God, he's not going to find me.
That's right. That's
of course,
right.
They're wrong.
What atheists believe is materialism. And what that means is that, frankly, everything that occurs in the world, even its coming about, should be explained by natural causes of the material world. And one atheist is quoted here, and I found that really interesting.
What page?
That he's quoted by saying that he believes in materialism and therefore forces everything into that.
Uh-huh.
And I can understand that, because we are the very opposite. We believe that there is a biblical God, and therefore we believe, teach, and confess everything the Bible says. But when you use science, it's kind of interesting. Evolution would be a good example. There's no scientific evidence for evolution, because to have something that's scientifically evidential, it has to be tested, repeated, and you get the same conclusion each time. And that just never happens. Never have they been able to go from one species to another, for example,
right?
Under evolution. So that to believe in evolution is really to believe in a philosophy of materialism. But by nature, man isn't that way. You find very few atheists in other lands, but you find a lot of religions.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. And all over the place.
So the question is this, and I find this really kind of interesting. In doing witnessing to people who are not Christian, just quoting a Bible verse isn't going to be sufficient because they don't believe the Bible. So, for example, I know there are some people who say something along the lines, well, we know that Jesus rose from the dead because 500 people saw him. Well, what do you mean 500 people saw? How do you know that's not a lie? And then they'll say, well, the apostles would never lie like that because then they died for what they knew to be a lie, and nobody does that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the history of religions, most people die for what they know to be a lie.
Right.
The head of Mormonism, you remember who that was?
Oh, yeah.
Joseph
Smith.
Very good.
Sure.
He knew that those things weren't true, what he said about the angel Moroni giving him all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was willing to die for what he knew to be a lie. Muhammad was willing to die for what he knew to be a lie, because those things he said occurred early in his life. None of that occurred. So, from a logical point of view, there really is no evidence for the Christian faith in the sense of something you can see, smell, touch, hear, and taste. That's what is meant by materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching a very interesting, in fact, I put it on a CD. It was so good. It was about an hour long about the worth of the earth, how much the earth is worth. And what they did, they went through and they showed how much oil is in the earth and how much special metals or things like diamonds and gold and things like that. And I learned one thing about, you know, first you have thousands, then you have hundred thousands. What's the next one?
Hundred thousand millions.
Millions. What's the next one?
Trillions.
No, very good.
No, trillions.
Yeah, trillions.
Yeah.
And then there's two more after that.
What, zillions?
I'm not sure if zillions is one. I can't think of it, but it's like gigatrillion.
Yeah, right,
it's just
right.
A really interesting
sure.
word. And you know what was the most, the element in the earth that was the most expensive, that would have cost more money than anything? Water.
No kidding.
Yes.
No kidding.
And I learned some things.
Now, that was because of its abundance?
Well, because this is written from an evolutionary point of view.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have water, it doesn't matter how much gold you have.
No.
You know, you
got to
have
no.
water.
Yeah, you can't have life with gold or silver, yeah. but you can have life, they think, with
well,
water.
Well, you know, they even talk about water wars. I've got a member of my congregation who was very much involved in water lines and stuff like that and water towers, building yeah. and designing these things. He talks about the water wars that are ahead of us in the future.
Oh, absolutely, because water is so cheap. It's 0.3 cent, 0.3 of a penny per gallon right now is what we pay. But there are many areas they were pointing out, like in India, they have twice as many people now needing water that they did. But what really astonished me, there's salt water and there's fresh water. Do you know what the difference in percentage is? How much salt water versus how much fresh?
Huge difference. I mean,
you're very
you
good.
Know, I mean,
97%
of the world's water is salt water.
And fresh is only, in fact, it's less than 3% because a lot of it is in, I was going to say icicles, but no, icebergs.
Yeah.
You can't get to that.
Yeah,
you know, things like that. And they said the vast majority of fresh water is underground, and it's very hard to get to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was up at Manitou preaching, northern...
Manitou, Illinois.
Yeah, yes. Springfield. And they have these really long pipes on wheels that go through the field with water.
Irrigate.
Yeah, irrigate. And so I talked to one of the members of the congregation. I said, boy, that must be expensive. Where's your faucet? He kind of laughed because in that area, there's a huge amount of water in the ground, well water.
Huh.
And that's where they get it from.
No kid.
And I said, well, will it run out? They said, no, they could go 24 hours a day, full, all the farms, and it would take 300 years to run out.
Wow.
That's how much water there is. And it's fresh water. So that was really interesting. In fact, the last Sunday I was there, almost every field had it on because it hadn't rained for a while. And it was just really quite fascinating to see. And, of course, they get good crops, things like that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is they are so looking for water on Mars, et cetera, because from the evolutionary point of view, that's where life comes from.
From outside planet Earth, from beyond.
Well, anywhere. 98% of a human being is water
mm-hmm.
in your cells,
mm-hmm.
they were saying. I mean, it was a really good. And so how do we explain this? Well, the morning show has Pastor Wirth on here on KFUO on Fridays. I always like listening to him.
Yeah, he's good.
He made some really interesting points. The biggest point, I think it was last week he made, is... when scientists measure what's happening here on Earth, they assume that what they're seeing is something that started from the very beginning. So that a diamond, for example, takes millions of years to be formed naturally.
Yes.
Through carbon and this. And another thing, in fact, there's a great astronomical, is that what it was called? There's a bunch of astronomers meeting at one of our colleges this August. And the whole thing is about how can we explain how light has reached the Earth from stars that are actually millions of years away in light speed.
Because God created a fully functioning universe.
Exactly. I mean,
those light paths were already
hitting the earth.
Absolutely.
On the second day of creation.
You know, it's like you know, God didn't create Adam and Eve as little embryos.
Well said. Well said.
You know, they were fully functioning adult human beings.
Yes. And here's the question for now. The reason people want to be materialists, I am convinced, is because the law is so well understood by them that they fall short of what they know they need to. And they're actually afraid of believing in a God because the only God they can find from their experience is a God of justice who's going to give you what you deserve.
Yeah.
So a materialist is actually a self-defense mechanism to stop from thinking there is such a God.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks there's no evidence for it. But Romans makes it very clear, as do many other passages, that you just take a look at creation. There's no child who's going to say, oh, that came out of nothing.
That's right.
I remember a professor.
Yeah, even a child has that much sense.
Yes. As a professor, I had heard this story. One was a creationist, the other was an evolutionist. So at night, the creationist snuck into the evolutionist's office, and he put a model of the solar system on the desk. And then when the evolutionist walked in, he was walking in with him, and he said, where did that come from? And the creationist said, it
nowhere.
Came from nothing. It just showed up overnight. Isn't that amazing? And the evolutionist started arguing with him and didn't realize what he had done. But that's how foolish, you know, people are to not believe that there is a creator. In fact, one of the finest things they did, they quoted an Islamic philosopher. And more people are using this. It's a syllogism. And the syllogism, and this is from the Muslim faith, is such...
What page, Tom?
That it, 59, has three premises. Here's the first one. Whatever begins to exist has a cause of its existence. Now, just stop and think. Don't go on. Whatever begins to exist, there must be a cause. That makes sense. Premise two, the universe began to exist. And number three, the universe therefore has a cause of its existence. Now, premise two was not believed by science for a long time.
You mean they accept it now?
Oh, yes. No, it's called the Big Bang Theory.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they now believe. And the reason they believe that there was a beginning is because the universe is still growing and it's expanding from their point of view. So by believing that there was a time it did not exist, and then it came and they got these crazy theories, the Big Bang Theory and this sort of thing, this Islamic philosopher, whatever begins to exist has a cause of its existence. And so once you say something began to exist, it must have a cause, and therefore the universe has a cause of its existence. Only... never in science is anything ever created in a test tube out of nothing. But in the Bible,
that's right.
The whole world was created out of nothing.
In fact, the word bara for create is always used in connection with God. It's not used
for man.
Not used for man.
Man
ever.
Can't barak
always,
anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said. And it also helps us, even though the Muslim is going to disagree with this, in our doctrine of the Trinity. You see, there was never a time the Trinity began to exist.
Yeah.
Therefore, there was always no cause for the Trinity. We call them eternal.
Uh-huh.
See, angels are not eternal. They're semi-eternal. And same with human beings. We had a beginning.
Yeah, we're sepeternal. I've heard it called that. We're sepeternal. That is, we have a beginning, but we have no end. We're immortal.
So...
Even God the Son is eternally begotten.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. There was not a time that he was not begotten. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three. Yesterday, I think it was Issues, Etc., they had an excellent hour on Jehovah's Witnesses. I learned a lot because this guy really knew. And they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in Jesus as God. He was a first creation. And
as I understand, they accept he's the Son of God, but they do not equate him with God.
No,
he's the Son of God, but he is not equal to God.
Because he was the first created. That's how they think of that. So Jehovah's Witness is totally outside the Christian faith. If you're a Jehovah's Witness and you believe that, you are not going to be saved. The only way a Jehovah's Witness gets saved is what we call the fallacious inconsistency.
Right.
They keep reading the Bible and think the Bible's right and not Jehovah's Witnesses, but they don't realize that there's a difference between the two. So a Jehovah's Witness can be saved by trusting what the Bible has to say without realizing it contradicts Jehovah's Witness faith.
Right.
And a Lutheran can go to hell because he doesn't believe what the Bible says.
That's right.
So we need to be careful. Now, here's the point I want to make, and I'm glad you have Vacation Bible School. The natural knowledge of God, C.S. Lewis says, can help someone at least get into the conversation about God. I'm more of a what's called a presuppositionalist because I believe that every false teacher cannot remain consistent with his theories, with his views. He's inconsistent in his logic.
Right.
And so
I would agree.
You can show that. But you know what C.S. Lewis says?
What?
He came to theism, namely believing in a God. And I've heard a lot of people say, see, he saw the evidence of nature and therefore evidential apologetics. That's how he came to faith. But he has a quote in this book. He says that the difference between when he believed just theism and believed in Jesus Christ is a difference of 100 miles.
Yeah, oh, it is. Well, to explain to people what you mean by theism.
Theism is just the notion there is a God.
Right.
So Jews, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses,
right.
Christian Science, Mormons, Lutherans, Presbyterians.
Even pagans.
We're all theists.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, many pagans are theists because sometimes they believe in multi-gods, you know, a number of gods. So in Vacation Bible School, if you're dealing with someone who's not from a Lutheran background and not having had, you know, knowledge of the scriptures a lot of times, sometimes you have to stay with the natural knowledge of God. And what's the natural knowledge? What's the opposite of that? It's called the revealed
knowledge of God, which comes only from the scriptures.
Yes. Apart from the scriptures, there isn't one religion in the world that even gets close to Christianity in the idea of a merciful and gracious God.
And that's what C.S. Lewis meant by it's 100 miles
away. Yeah, it's 100 miles.
Theism and Christianity is 100 miles away.
Yeah. He says, even when I was a theist, I wasn't saved.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, because believing there's a God doesn't help you at all. If you don't believe in the Jesus Christ God.
That's right.
Who alone is merciful and gracious. Now, one of the things I found interesting is that even pagans and other religions believe that God is kind and benevolent.
No kidding. Well, you know, I'll tell you why. I've even heard some Buddhists
Why? They pray to him for help. Every religion prays to God for help. So you must think he's kind and benevolent in not getting even with you with your sin.
At least he'll help me, you know.
If, and here's what every religion has, as long as I do my part.
Yeah, right. As long as I do what he wants me to do. If I don't, look out.
Yesterday I was talking about I had a lady in my store, wife of a pastor of a non-denominational church, just came in shopping, and she was there about 45 minutes.
I'll bet.
She walked in not believing in infant baptism and walked out really confused. Because
they don't baptize in her church?
Well, no, she says non-denominational, which means we don't have any beliefs. And I said, oh, yeah, you do. And I'll name them for you. Number one, you don't baptize infants. Yeah. And then I went down a whole list. You know, decision theology, all this kind of stuff.
Doesn't believe in the real presence in the Lord's Supper.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, she did.
Huh.
Which I found interesting. And so that was kind of an inconsistency there. But be that as it may, we got really into a good conversation. And remember, I believe that most Christians are Lutheran in their hearts. So
yes.
I would ask her a question. When you go to heaven, who are you going to give all the credit to? And immediately she said, Jesus Christ.
Well,
I said, well, then that means that you didn't make a decision. Uh-huh. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Because if you say you're the one who made, he said, well, no, Jesus did his part, then I have to do my part.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's how they understand John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Okay, that's God's part.
Uh-huh.
That whoever believes in him, that's my part.
If I do my part, right.
I have to believe.
And God's the one that gives us the faith to,
well,
to believe.
Well, she
it.
Wasn't
he
understanding
He creates the faith.
That. Yeah, she didn't understand
she
that.
She didn't buy that, huh?
Well, no, she finally did when I said, I just use Bible verses. With a Christian, you can do that. No one can say that Jesus is
Lord except by the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's right.
So apart from the Holy Spirit, if you say Jesus is Lord and you want to invite him into your heart, guess what? He's already there.
That's right.
Because nobody desires to have Jesus in the heart at any time. So,
in fact, if you say, oh, I want to pray to Jesus, that's testimony there's faith there, too.
Yeah. So we got about another 30. Oh, well, I guess we're done. Well, look, have a great vacation Bible school. Tell them where it's at if they want to show up, what time tomorrow morning with
their kids. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church on New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. Vacation Bible school starts at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock sharp. Bring your kids. We'll take them.
Yep.
And we have a lot of fun.
$100, right?
No, it's absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Till tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.